Good morning, beautiful people, and welcome to the Highly Melanated Podcast Show. I am your host, Natasha Monique, and thank you guys for tuning in. And on this season of the Highly Melanated Podcast Show, we are tackling motherhood. Yes, yes, yes. You heard that right. Motherhood. And for this mother, I am juggling a career while trying to be an aspiring entrepreneur with 1,000 side hustles. While being a mama to one and a half year old, and still trying to juggle who I am as a person and still trying to coexist with a partner. So we tackle all of that on this season of the Highly Melanated Podcast Show. So sit back and let's get ready to start the show. Hey y'all, so welcome back. Man, I'm just looking at this document on the coronavirus. I actually sent it out to my clients. I am a health aide, and the population I serve are I have patients that are ill and so and sickly, so. And they're also very, a lot of my patients are elderly, so, you know, I'm one of the people that got to be here. I'm not going to lie to you. It was frustrating when I was told that I still have to come to work because I'm a mom, and I would prefer to be home with my baby because I feel like the more and more I'm in and out, you know, you can catch it. So, but, man, you got to do what you got to do. My job calls me to be on the front line and making sure that my patients are okay. Patients sound so doctory. I'm not a doctor. I'm just a health aide / social worker, / case manager. So I'm here, a few hours out of the day to, make sure my clients, I'm here for them if they need anything. But I must say, I really didn't think that it was gonna be to this extent. Like, you know, I mean, I guess because we've had, you know, years where, you know, it was, what was it, the H1N1, the influenza, the bird flu, the swine flu. It's just always something, you know, it's always something. And so I was thinking it was just gonna blow over like that. But for schools to be shut down, for businesses to be shut down, restaurants and all that, so that's considered a business as well, but you guys know what I'm trying to say. For all these things to be shut down, for people to be told that you have to stay inside, you know, you have to be quarantined, don't come out. Sorry, y'all, I'm in love with matcha tea. I'm so sorry. So you're gonna keep hearing me. That means I'm sipping it. I apologize, but it's just so good. But you know, to be told that all these things that you're used to doing, you know, you can't do it no more. Nail salons had to be closed down. Beauty salons. And what's crazy is I had just got my braids done, I want to say 2 weeks ago. So I'm happy because I was getting tired of wearing these wigs. And under it was looking crazy. I definitely was looking like Miss Sealy. But my cousin Naj hooked me up, and then I got my long braids down my booty. And I look good. But no, but in all seriousness, guys, please stay vigilant, stay safe, wash your hands, practice social distancing, avoid social gatherings in groups of 10 or more. They say avoid eating or drinking at bar. Well, you can't anymore anyway. You can't. And my mom was telling me that it was this one restaurant that still had like a secret room set up and was still trying to have Jimmy James. And they was like, see, you think I'm playing with you. And then they took their license away. So, you know, guys, we got to listen. You know, even if you have your own take on what's going on, like you still got to listen. And granted, listen, it's messing up a lot of our pockets, especially the working class. Y'all know that. But, you know, this is America. He was trying to tell y'all. Childish Gambino was trying to do a job, among others. But yeah, wait, one more thing. Okay, so I'm gonna say this, that again, I'm not happy that this is going on, but the traffic. Oh man, I am a person who hates traffic, and there is literally no traffic. Like, because a lot of people, I am hating on y'all that get to be home and still get paid. I am hating, but you know, because a lot of people are home quarantined. Like, you know, for people who got jobs where they boss is either like, nah, or you on the front line, whatever your position is, you still got to be out there, you know. It's like a reward. It's like, if I got to be out here in this danger zone, you know, at least not letting me have no line so I can get to my matcha tea. I'm trying to stay away from coffee. I became really like addicted to coffee, especially after I had my baby. So I'm trying to avoid the caffeine because it doesn't help with anxiety. It actually makes you worse. So I be really jittery and my eyes are already big. And as my mom say, thyroidy. I mean, no disrespect to people with thyroids, but it's a joke. But my eyes already be looking big, twitchy, and crazy. So I'm trying to avoid it with and drink matcha tea. And matcha tea actually gives you more energy than caffeine. So yeah, I'm a fuck with this matcha. But let's get started with the show. Okay, so when we come back, we are going to talk about my birthday. Y'all know a nigga went to Paris. We're going to talk about all of that. Be back, guys. After this little break. And welcome back. So, before the break, I said I was going to have some for y'all. A nigga went to Paris. Yes. And I celebrated my 34th birthday. So, let's start with my trip first. Okay. So, initially, the trip was supposed to be my partner and I and the baby as a family. And, you know, Dad decided that he wanted to stay home with the baby. And I ended up going with my cousin and our friend. So it was the three of us, and we decided to go to London first. Well, actually, it was supposed to be a bachelorette party, and my the bride decided, you know, that would be too much for her, you know, having to carry her dress and everything. So we ended up not doing a bachelorette party, surprise bachelorette party. And so the three of us just decided, like, you know, we'll still go to London, sightsee, you know, see Big Ben, and you know, all the beautiful attractions in London. Well, first of all, when we got there, it was raining the whole time, and we did not know that it is like New York, where you literally have to fucking take trains everywhere. Did not know. We're from New Jersey. We drive. So trying to figure out that was a headache within itself. But shout out to our good girlfriend Donnie, because Donnie was on point with it. Donnie was stopping people, asking people. She is a very, very, very friendly person, and I love that. She's reserved, but she's also just very outgoing, so I appreciated that, because I didn't want to be the person to have to go up to people and say, excuse me, can you help us? So shout out to Donnie did a good job at coordinating our trip. She did. We bothered her for everything. Like, she was on point. Like, that is the friend. Like, when you need some organization, call Donnie. Okay. But, yes, London was fun, but it just rained a lot. We couldn't figure out what it was that, you know, wanted to do. So we was like, all right, we're going to try this spot. So ultimately, you know, we just ended up winging it and traveling to just different places. But again, it was raining. So we just was like getting frustrated with each other because this person don't know where to go. But then we had to keep in mind, like, none of us from here. So, we were able to get in contact with this guy that was going to help us with the Airbnb when we were going to do our the surprise bachelorette. And so he took us on a Caribbean food tour, and we met him in a town called Brexit, I want to say. Damn it, it's been a minute. I want to say it's called Brexit, but it was the black community in London before it was gentrified. So he gave us a tour, and we got to see food market, spice market. It was a Chinatown in there, and I was like, god damn, Chinatown's everywhere. We got to do better, black folk. They everywhere. They was selling weaves and everything. that's our shit. But anyway, it was fun. Our first stop, So we met a couple, and this couple was hilarious. But it really was the girlfriend who stuck out to us the most. And if you follow me on social media, or my cousin that was with us, Sophia, you met Maya. Now, Maya is a beautiful, beautiful Egyptian woman. She's a foreign exchange student, and again, we met her on a food tour. So after our amazing food tour, food was delicious. We was drunk. But we were not driving. We were drunk. We was tipsy. And we decided that we were going to go to a club. So we took Maya with us. Maya did not have any clothes. So we dressed Maya up. Maya came out looking like Kim Kardashian. Listen, now I really don't talk about Kim K like that. I respect her, but still over there. I don't get praises. But I will say, Maya was looking like Boom Cat, honey. And she was giving me Kim Kardashian. And everybody was in love with Maya. Everybody was on our timeline asking for Maya. I had to tell a few husbands, like, you better chill. Because Maya is taken. And plus, you married. So go ahead with yourself. But, we had an amazing time with Maya. It was a fun experience. You know, I met so many people because Maya got slusted. we met some people in the bathroom, some ladies that was assisting us, and so I gained some Instagram friends because of Maya. Because of, they all came, and y'all know how women are, we're very nurturing. And I can say that too, even though it was uncomfortable and you knew like we weren't from there, like they were just so excited to see American people, and it was Black women too, and that's what I was excited to see. It was a lot of Black women where we were at, and they were so nurturing and so kind. And one was like, her husband was a doctor, and she like, oh, you know, you gotta give her a little more water. Like it was just, all in all, it was just fun. Like, I had an amazing time. Like, one thing, since I got pregnant with my son, I took a step back from just being around people a lot. Like, I got so big on energy when I got pregnant with Bakari. So to travel across the world and like be open to meeting new people and be friendly and let's exchange Instagram, you know, like that was an accomplishment for me, honestly, because this is what I learned about becoming a mom. Like, you develop social anxiety because your life is restarting. Like, it's starting all over again. You know, I feel like the old me was shedding, and then the new me was birthed when I had my son. So I had to like relearn how to be friends with people all over again. And I didn't even know that was a thing as a mom, but I met a few moms who said it was a thing. So I didn't feel so awkward and uncomfortable, which is why I do this podcast show, because, you know, it's harder when you feel like you're in a race alone. But when you got people running next to you or on the side of you, giving you water, like, keep going, like, it makes you just feel better. And it's like, okay, I'm not the only one. Or, you know, it's people in my village just rooting me on, or strangers rooting me on, saying, listen, we in this together. So, but back to what I was saying. So, you know, it was really fun to just meet different people and, you know, still get to talk to them on social media. We even met, and that's the cool thing about social media. Like, I'm one of those people who I love using it as a platform, but I also know like it can be toxic for you. So I had my moments where it's like crack to me, where I want to keep doing stuff, and then I'll be like, but you listen, you keep, if you take this one more hit, you're gonna be messed up. So take a step back, because, you know, it's easy to get lost in watching other people be happy, be successful. Now, you don't know what it took for them to get there. You don't even know if it's even real, but social media has just made it for all of us to be in a fishbowl, to literally see what each other is doing. And, you know, if you're not right with yourself, you know, even if you are right with yourself, sometimes just too much is it's not good for you, and you gotta take a step back. So but still, nonetheless, it was just cool to meet people and be able to still talk to them on social media. I hate when I get started going down the rabbit hole. See, this is why it sucks being a two-man show. Let me tell y'all something. Hold on, I'm spraying alcohol, like, bruh. I think that this is about to be my new goddamn perfume, because I just feel like every time I feel like a germ is on me because of this whole corona, I keep spraying myself with alcohol. Like, I feel like I smell like a hospital now, but whatever. But it was an experience. It definitely was an experience. We got to try Lebanese food, and their food was so authentic and so good. Like, I when I order from Chicken Shack, like, I order like falafel and stuff like that, and my friends always be like, you eat white, and I be like, no, I eat right. It doesn't have nothing to do with the white folk. I just know I want to live longer, you know, until it's time for me to punch out. So stop being ignorant. But eating falafel there, my God, it was amazing. It was delicious. So it was good. It was good. The rice was good. The shrimp was good. It was good. Then my cousin ordered some lamb, baby. And she ordered lamb shanks. Like, see, my cousin, she fancy pants. Like, she ordered lamb and steak. And she's walking around with a fur coat on. But that's up. That's fancy pantsy. She gave me a piece of that lamb shank. And I thought only I could take a bite. She's like, why didn't you take the whole thing? If I would have knew I could take that whole piece of lamb shank, I would have narfed that. I would have did like the cartoon. I put it in my mouth and pulled it out. Only thing you would have seen was the goddamn bone. It was so good, baby. But London was very cold and very rainy. However, it was a beautiful experience. Like, it was just cool to meet other people, especially people that look like me, and just vibe out with them and keep in contact with them. So that was London. And then we took a Eurostar. That's a train. We took the train to Paris. Paris was fun. Paris was fun. What did we do? We went to take pictures at the Arc de Triomphe. We went to take pictures at the Louvre. The Louvre is the place that has the Mona Lisa, and it's when you see people do that picture when it looks like they're holding a triangle. That's the Louvre. And then obviously you guys know what the Eiffel Tower is. And what was so amazing about the Eiffel Tower was that I was just there. Like, I really was like, holy shit, I'm at the fucking Eiffel Tower. Like, I've seen so many people post it, and I didn't think it was gonna be me. So, you know, I guess for me, it was just so different for me. My feeling was like, it was so nostalgic because I always wanted to go to Paris. I just feel like it's like you have to go. Like, I just feel like somebody like me needed to go to Paris. Like, I just felt like I needed to. Anybody can go to Paris. You know, I encourage anybody to go. But I just feel like for me, it was like I needed that. Like, somebody like me who extra. Like, I feel like Paris is extra. You know, there's so many historical sites everywhere you go. And that's extra to me. Like, no, actually, it's beautiful. I love it. But it's just still like, it's just everywhere you look. And like, I feel like that's me. I'm just Paris. Like, I just made that up in my mind. Whatever, roll with it. But, man, to be able to take a fucking picture by the Eiffel Tower, like, if it wasn't for my good girlfriend having her wedding there, I don't even know if I would have made it, you know, within a year or two. Like, I kept saying it, and you know, I realized that I had became that friend that say, I want to go, and then I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that. Or, I want to go on a trip, and then I'm like, nah, I'm not gonna do that. And I did it for a minute, and it was like my friends knew that I was that friend, but it was like I don't want to be labeled as that friend. Like, that ain't fun being that friend. So, you know, I knew I definitely had to come to my friend's wedding, and also because I knew I needed it. I knew I needed that break from my partner, from my son. You know, when you have a kid and you have a family, like, it's a lot. Even if you do have a partner who's like, my partner is a dad, like, my baby daddy. I like saying baby daddy because it's just funny, and I just like being an asshole. But my baby daddy is an amazing father. Like, he is amazing with our son. He really is, you know. But still, it's like, it's a lot more when you're a mom. Like, it is. It's no disrespect to dads. It's not taken away from what he do as a dad. But I just know as a mother, I'm the coach. Just saying, I'm the coach. I am the coach. Moms will agree. You can have an amazing husband, a great dad, but you coach. Listen, you tell him, you go here. Okay, break. Let's get this. Like, seriously. So I needed that fucking break. Like, I needed that break. I was on Who Let the Mom Out 2.0. I was turned. And now let me tell you something. I was drinking all the time. But there was times that I wasn't like, people that know me. I wasn't even like that. Like, I wasn't Auntie Dusty, but I still, like, I drank every day because I needed it. I was like, I could drink, and I don't have to worry about my baby. I could just drink and have fun. We taking Ubers everywhere. I'm good. Shit. We ended up having a, first of all, we ended up, what did I want to say? I was on the roll. What did I want to say? Oh. So in Paris, we ended up meeting up with the lovely bride. We got to have brunch with her. And let me say something. The bride is my childhood friend. And like I said before, And so when you have been friends with somebody for a long time, y'all see a lot of shit and y'all go through a lot of shit. And so, I feel like over the years, as I was trying to figure myself out and, you know, she's trying to figure herself out, sometimes that happens in friendships where, you know, you go apart. You're still friends, but it's like, you know, you're just trying to figure it out in life. Cause now you're not in the second grade anymore. Now you're not in the third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, not even not in college anymore. And we've been through all of that together. And so there was a time where, you know, we were figuring ourselves out, but still keeping in touch with each other. But it wasn't like how it was when we were younger, and we recognized that. So when she came to the cafe, you know, we ate and we talked, and it was just this energy that that guided us, the spirit, it just guided us to each other. And she hugged me and we cried. Like, I don't know where this cry came from, but I think that was the first time I really showed emotions in front of people. Like, even though I cry on here, which is so funny. Let me tell y'all something. Before my son, I did not cry. Like, I didn't, like, I will cry by myself, but I had to grow up at 3 years old. So, you know, when you experience a lot of trauma, or just a lot of, like, just, well, I guess you can call it trauma, dysfunction, just anything that just, where you're taught that you can't feel, you stop feeling, you know, you keep it bottled up. And I feel like that's a lot of us. We keep it bottled up. You know, a lot of us don't even know how to talk to one another as, you know, black women and say, hey, I'm feeling like this, because we don't even know how to do it with our own moms. And I feel like that it starts at home. And so, because I was always silenced, I didn't know how to express my feelings to my friends. And I think that sometimes my friends listen to my podcast, it makes them easier to understand me. And I know that my good girlfriend listens to my podcast. So, maybe she picked up some of the things, and like, wow, I didn't know that my friend went through that, or I'm not sure, but we hugged each other and it was just like, man, we needed to do that. I cried. And then, like, after it was over, you know, she went to wash her face and I went to the bathroom. I ugly cried some more because I understood, like, how do I want to say this? I just understood that now she understood. You know, we had a conversation before, and she said to me, you know, I always, how did she put it? I forgot how she started it, but I remember the ending of it saying, but you always had a boyfriend. And I remember that I was the person who always had a boyfriend. And now that I think about it, it was because I ain't have no guidance. Like, you know, my mom and dad, they raised me like, well, my mom did her best. My dad more so raised me like his sibling. My mom, she tried, but I was her first. My mom had me at 20, you know, and I know me having my son at 31, I still didn't know a lot of shit. So I can imagine, you know, you're just starting out in life. You don't know what you're doing. She just tried the best that she knew how. So they didn't know how to, you know, they didn't guide me, you know, the right way. And my mom didn't tell me how ladies supposed to act. She just told me to be strong. And I mentioned that to you guys before, so I'm not going to drag that part out. But, you know, she just told me to be strong. You're a black woman, you know, that was it. It was more, but that was the gist of it. And my dad, everything was party, party, party. So my dad never taught me how a man's supposed to treat me. And I didn't know. So I just was out here like a whole adult. Like, and that's another thing too, to think about. Like, a lot of times when people call little girls grown, you don't know how she grew up. You don't know how she's growing up, how she's being raised. So, you know, we say these things and we judge without even knowing. And I know for me, I started raising my brother at 3 years old, my mom. So I took on so many responsibilities at three. And I'm looking at my little cousin. She's 3 years old. She acts like a 3 year old. You know what I'm saying? I was three and I was helping my mom and my brother. Like, it's, I'm three. I should enjoy being three. I never got to enjoy being a kid because I was always helping my mom. You know, so when people would be calling me grown, I'm like, I'm not grown. I remember some of my friends' mom, and I'm thinking about it now that I'm older. I remember the looks that some of my friends' mom gave me, and it was like, you know, I did act older than my friends. It's because I just had more responsibility. And, you know, and to be honest, like, some of my friends, like, I was looking out for them like a big sister to them, you know, but it was like nobody was really looking out for me. You know, it was really like, it was, I raised myself to be honest. And I think I mentioned that before, so I ain't gonna drag it out, but so I just was out here living my life the best way that I saw fit. So, you know, for my that hug that my friend gave me and that ugly cry that we had, it was like, I got it, sis. I got it, you know. It just, like, that was the highlight of my trip, yo. I'll never forget that, because we've been friends for a long time. We really have. All right, let me move on to the wedding before I start crying again. I'm sorry, y'all. But, the wedding. Oh my God, the wedding was beautiful. That's what made me cry too. It was a fairy tale wedding. And again, like I keep saying, she's been my friend for a long time. You see your friends kiss a lot of frogs. And not saying it like that. But I've seen my friend, you know, date some guys where I'm like, don't make me fuck you up over my sister. And so to see somebody love her, like, it's just so beautiful. Like, oh man, like, her wedding was, it was for a princess, and she a queen, she deserves it. We was in a fucking castle, okay? We was in a castle. That and you know what her dad made, it was so funny, because her dad is like my dad. He said, and we here on Black History Month. I said, oh, you know what, you're so right, we making history. Me and her dad had a whole conversation about that. But, you know, it was just so amazing to see, you know, her dad crying when his baby was walking down the aisle. It's just so beautiful. The whole energy, it was just Black love. Like, oh, man. Like, to see so many Black people, because her husband's Haitian. To see, and they're Black, too. We'll get on that another day when I got an expert who really can break it down to y'all, because we got to stop carrying on. But to see so many Black people in a room, we was just vibing out, singing our hearts out, just drunk, having a good time, and the steak was amazing. Now, I ain't gonna lie, now the goat cheese was stank. The goat cheese was stank. The goat cheese was stank. Oh God, I forgot to tell y'all about we had a song, right? So let me go back to before the wedding. We ended up having an impromptu bachelorette night out, and it was an amazing time. Like, we really just walked the streets of London and was just turned up. Like, can you imagine Black women just walking all this different color hair, different kind of hairstyles and different shades of brown, just stumbling in the streets in London, being Paris being loud and ratchet? We was singing Booty Snails and Cheese, and this is why, because the goat cheese smell like butt. We was asked to try it. You know, you try not to be rude. So we tried the goat cheese, but it's like butt. And then we ordered order escargot. That's, you know, that snail. That's a big thing for them. That's like a, what do you call it? Aphrodisiac. It's a delicacy for them. Not for us. We don't eat that shit. But you know me, I try stuff. Like, my friends know. Like, I'll try anything once. Like, that's just me. I feel like, as long as they don't kill me, you know, knock on wood. But we did the escargot, and it was good. It was, to me, it was good. It was a little, it tastes like slippery dirt, but they put a little bit of garlic on it, so it was all right. Would I eat it every day? Absolutely, tootsie not. But, it was just something to try. So, with that, we came up with booty snails and cheese. We was walking down the street, booty snails and cheese. And that's when I met the person who got the battle of a lifetime. Okay, I'm going back because I forgot to mention this. I'm sorry, y'all, I'm all over the place, because there's just so much to tell about Paris. So I paused real quick because I had to process it. I'm sorry, forgive me. But so we went to this club during our impromptu bachelorette, right? We went to this club, and it was these kids, like, you know how you guys, if you watch TV, you see how the white people be raving, and they be having on the big pants, and they just be dancing to anything. Like, that's literally how I was at this club. Like, they had on the big pants, it was a whole bunch of white folk, a few Black people sprinkled in there, but it felt like college. It felt like college. It really did. They was younger than us, clearly, and we was vibing out with them. We was having a good time. Like, I'm gonna actually post it on my page. I'm gonna do it for Throwback Thursday. I'm gonna go back and post some things that we did in Paris. But the way they was dancing, it was hilarious. But I love it. Like, I love it, because I mean, dance and music, music alone bring people together. You know what I'm saying? So to be in a room with them just dancing, they was dancing how they dance, we dancing how we dance. It was fun. But then it was these two guys, right? They were with the DJ, and they was dressed in the same uniforms. I don't know what they was doing. I don't know if he was they was his security or what. But it was these two guys, and, you know, they was off to the side. And you could tell they was French guys, two French black guys. But you can tell, like, they watch YouTube a lot. They are obsessed with American culture. And most people are. Especially hip-hop culture. So they was in the corner, and every time the DJ played certain song, they were practicing. They was over there mentally rocking hard as hell. And, again, it's amazing to be around different people, but it was just so hilarious for me to see, because I was like, I know y'all niggas be on YouTube and IG practicing in the mirror like a motherfucker, because the way they was getting it in, oh man, it was so fun. So eventually we was talking to them, and they was trying to come at us a little cray cray. My good girlfriend's sister, they was trying to come a little cray cray, trying to do the whole battle thing. And we like, see, we the originators from this. Y'all just watch us and carbon copy. So let me show you real quick. Let me come about a retirement real quick. Who let the mom out 2.0 in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? And I had to shut it down. I had to definitely shut it down. Let me tell y'all, I danced so hard, I backed him into the wall and he fell. Just like how y'all see in the movies. And I had on some thick ass, you know, like the old school Spice Girl shoes. I had on some thick ass heels. I had on this mom fucking sweater with a beret. With my favorite sky blue beret that I got from my good girlfriend, Python Luxury. I wore this beret the whole time because I was just in Paris and I only own one. I was dressed like a freaking mom. And I had to show him real quick. Like, let me explain something to you. What we not going to do, y'all not going to try to outdance us. So I had to shut it down. But I got to say this. If it wasn't for the DJ playing music from 2000, we would have been fucked. Because I don't know nothing about this shit that come on now. I don't know these dances that these kids be doing. I don't know. The Renegade. And I don't know that stuff. If they would have played that, I would have lost. But the DJ and the music gods knew. 2007, and I won a dance contest. I did. I won. And in honor of that, I definitely got some songs on my Naked Dancer playlist for y'all in honor of 2007, because the bitch won the dance contest. Okay, now let's go back. So, going back to the wedding, it was beautiful, man. We was in a castle. Again, just to see black love, man, and just to see one of my friends, you know, get the love that they deserve. Like, and don't get me wrong, like, you know, she brought some light into his life, but it's just still, like, I feel like the black woman is just always so disrespected, you know, always the most unwatered. So to see a man love a woman with every fiber in his being like that, to see that, man, shit, I'm telling y'all, I can't get over her dad crying. To see her dad cry, because that's his homegirl. That's his homegirl. Like, she's been my friend for a long time. And her dad, I remember we went to the prom, and her dad let her drive to the junior prom. Like, yo, I just got so many memories. And you gotta... Because the way society makes us, portray us as black women... You really gotta take advantage of the relationships in a good way. That you really gotta continue to cultivate and love on your friends, because they always want us against each other, you know? Like, and we gotta stop that shit, you know? We gotta start being honest with our friends. We gotta start saying, I'm not okay. And, you know, we also gotta start congratulating our friends. And don't be no hater. Yo, that wedding was so beautiful. But I promise you, in the back of my mind, I was not saying, well, I deserve that. No, it's not my time. It ain't even about me. My thoughts wasn't even about me. My thoughts was on her, like, oh my God, this is so fucking beautiful. Your dress is so beautiful. You're so beautiful. Like, I just was so happy for my friend. And we gotta start doing that. Be happy for people. They worked for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's their love. That's their journey. It ain't yours. Be happy. You, like, man, we just really gotta do a better job at taking care of one another and loving on one another, encouraging one another, and just uplifting and empowering and saying, sis, I got your back. You know what I'm saying? Sis, let's do this. You know, like, you just, I don't know where that came from. I don't know the Holy Spirit. I don't know what, but man, I'm just happy to see people happy, yo. Like, especially what's going on in this world and what's always going on in this world. Like, it just feels good to let a little sunlight in. And that wedding definitely let some sunlight in, for real. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And did I say we was in a castle? Bro, because I was supposed to be with my family, I had this big ass suite to myself. I literally was jumping in the middle of that bed, drinking. They was giving out little welcome bags. I was asking, like, did somebody show up? Can I get their crown royal? Hell yeah. I was jumping in the middle of that bed, dancing, crying, singing, screaming, niggas in Paris. I was so freaking happy. I think all of us that was there was happy because we really could use the term niggas in Paris. Like, what? Oh, man. What was I about to say? What did I forget? They had fireworks. It was beautiful. And when the fireworks started popping, they played Fireworks by Alicia Keys. Oh my God. It was so beautiful. And it's funny because I kept ended up being by her dad. And me and her dad looked at each other. I said, Dad, look at this. Oh man, it was beautiful. They had a pizza truck. Yo, I dropped one of my boxes of pizza. So sorry, y'all. If y'all listening, that was me that did that. My bad, y'all. Oh, I was drunk. Y'all had that liquor flowing, but it was beautiful, man. They had a magician. Some of the black folk got up and left. Because y'all know black folk, we don't play with that. I was trying to tell him he's delusionist. Like, if you pay attention closely, you can see some of the magicians, you know. No disrespect to magicians, but come on. It is what it is. But some people, black folk, don't play that. So a lot of them put the church finger up and exit stage left. But, beautiful wedding, man. Beautiful fairy tale wedding. I loved it. And again, if it wasn't for my friend doing her wedding in Paris, I don't know when I would have got there. So thank you, because now I do want to travel. I got 2 stamps on my passport, and I had this passport for 2 years. But I mean, I still was, you know, working through motherhood, and so, you know, I ain't gonna really beat myself up too much. But now it's like I'm ready to travel, you know. Well, after this blows over, you know, I'm ready to go. Like I just needed that to jump start, you know. Even if it's once a year or twice out of the year, one big trip, one small trip, whatever. I just feel like it made me realize how much I work and I don't enjoy it. How I don't enjoy life. It's like I just felt like all my life I just been existing. I ain't been living, and most of us live like that, you know. And I feel like now I'm really coming into myself. After having my 34th birthday, it was February 24th, and Pisces season, woo, 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 woo. But after having my birthday, like, I really, like, had time to really sit back and reflect. And I felt like 33 was a very rough year. It's like a lot of growing pains, man. Like, I went through the fire, man. It's funny because I'm looking at this quote. And it says, lives fall apart when they need to be rebuilt. And it's from Iyanla Vanzant. And I felt that. I look at that quote every day. I looked at that quote when I was going through shit, man. When I tell y'all, 33, I went through fire. Like, I went through it. Like, whew. It felt like getting jumped. And if you're from the hood, or if you've just been in a situation where you got jumped, you know how that feel. It's just punches coming from everywhere. Now, if you're from the hood, your mama teach you, you grab one and you with the ass out. And so I would grab one problem and whoop that problem ass, but it was still the other problem still beating me up. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, and I'm still working through it, but I came out all right. I did. I really had to, you know, we forget to count our blessings. We really forget to think about the positive shit, because we'll keep worrying. Like, all we know is worry. And I know for me, I was born into worry. So it's like it was just passed down, you know. And I'm like, I'm tired of worrying. You know, you can also have anxiety from things being good, things being too good, and you like, something bad gonna happen. Yeah, so, and that was me, and that is me sometimes. Like, I'll be in my mind, and I'll be worrying, and then I'll walk myself through each thought, and then at the end of it, I'll be like, so what is your problem? Can you control this? Is there anything you could do about it right now? All right then, sis, put it on the shelf. Put that shit on the shelf. Worry about it when you're supposed to. Right now, you can't do nothing about it. On your list of priorities, where's the fall at? Come on now. You got to stop. You got to stop doing this to yourself. We beat ourselves up. So I'm learning to take it one day at a time. I really am. I can say, you know, I'm proud of myself. And Paris made me realize how much I've come a long way. Even now I always say, if it doesn't work out with me and my partner, I'm not going to be in a rush to be with a man, because it stuck out to me when my friend said to me, you always had a boyfriend. And I don't want to be that friend anymore that always have a boyfriend. Like, that part of me, that's the old me. You know, I live my life, I earn my stripes and the numbers, all that shit. Like, hey, it is what it is. Like, I guess it is what it is. But, I just know the next time, you know, I would want to be my own friend first, because I never got to know me. And I'm even in a relationship right now, I'm learning me, you know. So I'm enjoying it. Like, I'm relearning what I like. I'm learning what I don't like. I'm learning what I won't tolerate. I've even got to the point where my circle of friends is not as big as it used to be, because I realized I was in certain friendships and it was like, you know, my therapist would ask me when I would talk in my sessions about certain friends, she would say, well, what value is this friend bringing to your life? And I would sit there stumped. I can't say shit, because what value were they bringing? Bringing. What value were they bringing? I don't know. Nothing, maybe. Or maybe it was something, but it wasn't significant enough for them to still be here. Some people belong in a chapter and that's it. Don't flip back. Maybe you flip back to reference it if you bump into somebody who may exhibit the same red flags, you know. But other than that, it ain't no need to go back. It's no need to go back, you know. So 33 was crazy, and 34 is gonna be better. I just feel it. I just feel it. 34 moving forward, it's gonna be better. Cause I just. If y'all been listening, you know the shit. You know the shit. You know the shit that I've been through. You know. So I'm sorry for that long pause, y'all. See, it's one thing if y'all can actually see me, then y'all will understand the pauses. But yeah, man, here's the 34 and moving forward. And to all of y'all out there, listen, y'all ain't the only one going through things, man. Life is real, life is hard, but you know, you don't gotta go through it alone. You don't, you know. And check on your friends. The ones that seem like they're the strongest, those are the ones that need the love the most, because think about it, you're pouring so much into them. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you gotta check on them. They carry that. Before I wrap this segment up, I was watching this show. I can't remember it. But this girl was a healer, and she touched this woman, and this woman had like a big ass rash. So she touched her and she healed her. And when she healed her, she took on that. And as I'm sitting there watching it, I was like, holy shit. Like, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, in my mind, I processed it and I interpreted it as, that's how it is when people constantly dump into you. You know, when they make a lot of when they deposit a lot of shit in you, just keep, you know, like, watching that, I was like, yo, I understood that. 1,000% I understood it, because I always felt like when I would take on people's shit, it would bother me, especially when it came to my family. Like, I was always so involved in their shit that I carried that with me. And even with my parents, hold it, like, trying to help them heal through their wounds, I carried that with me until I said, like, this is not mine, y'all. This is not mine. And that's what it feels like when you are trying to heal people. Sometimes it's like you're taking their shit too. I wanted to be like on Green Mile, where I take it and then I spit that shit back out into the universe. Bye. It's not for me no more. I done held it for you. We done processed. We done worked through it. Now I'm bye. Let it go. I don't know if my interpretation of that was good, but it's just something that I noticed, man. But that wraps up this segment of Who Let the Mom Out. That was a long one, because it's been a minute since I talked to y'all. So this kind of feels like therapy when we do our phone call-ins, but then we finally sit face to face and we talk. It's like everywhere, and I and she will always say to me, like, you know, I'm sorry we're everywhere. And I'll be like, listen, or I'll say, I'm sorry I've been I'm all over the place. She like, and we say the same thing to each other. Listen, it's been a minute, y'all, since I talked to y'all. So y'all had to get all of that. But let me tell y'all this before I wrap it up. I know I just keep talking. I missed doing this. Like I did, taking the time away made me realize how much I love doing this. And I kept seeing quotes that say, if you love something, you know, you can't stop thinking about it, you gotta do it. And I've been thinking about doing this every day. Like, I really love doing podcasts. I really love being in the radio. I really love talking. So, you know, why not? You know, I love making people laugh. And like, I've really been studying comedy. I have this quote that says, bad day having it, it says bad day, watch food, right? And then that's in one color. And then like, it just dawned on me a few days later, because to be honest, food really is therapy. My mom used to watch it as her therapy, and it is crazy how you just, you be your parents. I just really never realized that I had my fucking son, that I'm just a spitting image of my mom in many ways. But I would watch food for the longest. And then a few days later, I realized, like, it's comedy, too. Comedy makes me not think about it, you know. But I'm looking at these comedians, and I'm like, these people have been through it. And they're smiling, you know. They're laughing. They're making you laugh. And I seen another quote. I was watching The Last Days of Richard Pryor. And it was they was interviewing Mike Epps. And he said, if you can turn your pain into joy, that's the art of humor. And so, as I'm doing these podcasts and I make them funny videos on my IG, and people say to me, oh, you should, you know, take it to YouTube and do all of this. Like, I had to really think about, and it's going back to what I was saying about blessings. Like, if you have a gift and you can't stop thinking about this gift, and people keep nurturing and not even nurturing, but keep encouraging you to display this gift, give the world your gift. Give the world your gift. I love when people make me laugh, so I love making people laugh. And I also love being honest. I love breaking generational curses. And let me tell y'all something. This is uncomfortable. This is real uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable to sometimes just be in a place knowing that I'm different now, because I see shit for what it is. When I'm at certain family functions, like, I pay attention to stuff more. When I'm around certain people, I pay attention to stuff more. And it's like, once you know, you can't unknow. So it's like, I have to remove myself. If I feel like it's I'm not there anymore, I've evolved past it. Not that I think that I'm better than them, but if I feel like it's too many unhealthy situations around me, I remove myself. Because it's not good for me. You know, I don't want that energy to rub off on me. I stay as long as I can and I remove myself. Because it's just, I just came out different. On the other end, I just went through a lot of shit where I'm like, I can't do this. But see, now I'm just rambling and then just going off on tangents. But again, I ain't talked to y'all in so long, so whatever. But that wraps up Who Let the Mom Out. So sorry, y'all. So when we get back, I hope I didn't lose y'all. So when we get back, I'm going to give you guys my playlist, my naked playlist. And now that half of y'all home and don't got shit to do, come on now. I'm going to post it on my IG on Thursday. So now that you guys don't have nothing to do, you can play the naked playlist and dance. You know, grab your kids and dance, man. Have fun. Like I said, music bring you together. Music gets you through some tough times, and so do comedy. Laughter and music and some wine. And if you like it stronger, throw a little bit of vodka in it. But yeah, that wraps up Who Let the Mom Out. And we'll be back, y'all. Hey y'all, and we're back. As promised, our naked playlist. Let me pull it up. Give me a second. Where is it? Where is it? Who Let the Mom Out? Give me a second, y'all. I'm doing everything from one thing. Where is it? Where is it? Okay, here we go. So here is playlist number 2, in honor of me kicking ass and battling people that was probably 10 years younger than me. But I was like, don't start no shit, won't be no shit, because I don't play that shit. I still got it. I had to ice my knees, you know, for a whole damn week after I shut shit down. But whatever, you know, you make sacrifices in vain. So first on my playlist is Daddy Yankee, Gasolina. Now, how did I come across this? I was playing music one day and it just came on. And if black folk, listen, we don't know the words to the song. We only know Gasolina, but y'all know that part real fast when he start rapping real fast and all the girls be shaking their butt doing the Tina Turner dance. It looks like Quick Feet. That's why I love that song. It's just a fun song. And it's also a fun song to work out to, because when I work out to it, when he starts speaking real fast, that's when I do the quick feet, then drop, then do a burpee, then quick feet, then drop, do a burpee. Damn, I'm going to add it to my workout today. Let me write that down. Quick feet burpee workout. Okay. Quick feet burpee workout. Okay. All right, y'all, I get distracted very easily. So that's number one on my playlist. Daddy Yankee, Gasolina, Walk It Out by DJ. I want to say DJ Unk. That was my song in college. And I am a master at walking it out, okay? That's what I had these before Meg Thee Stallion. Because you had to get low and walk it out. Then you had to dirty wind your neck. Listen, I'm telling you, that DJ made all of that come out of me that night when we was in Paris. So, Walk It Out. and then Don't Start No Shit, Won't Be No Shit by Young Bloods. It's really called Damn, but we don't know that. We remember Don't Start No Shit, Don't Be No Shit. And I'm going to tell y'all, in college, that was my shit. Every time that song came on, it was kind of like Knuck If You But. You just look at bitches like, don't start no shit. Then I look in the corner and I always catch my boyfriend in the cut doing saying he had no business. Now make me come over there and jab both of y'all. Woo, flashback. So that's number three. Don't Start No Shit, Won't Be No Shit by the Young Bloods. And then I'm Every Woman. I don't know. When I made this playlist, Whitney was on my mind. See, because a lot of times I make this playlist, I be in the shower. And I like to do karaoke when I'm in the shower. And so that song was heavy on my mind. And I was like, how could you not? And you just be in the mirror, like whether you like singing out loud or not, or you just like singing, you know, lip syncing, it's still just, that's just one song that you just have. It's Whitney. You know what I'm saying? How could you not? So I'm Every Woman, of course. And then, and you know what it was? It was the Waiting to Exhale soundtrack. It popped up. And so on my iTunes. So, of course, Shoop. Come on now. How could you not? Shoot. I always be talking about Maka singing. Ain't never done sung a note right since I've been doing this damn show. But Shoop by Whitney. You know what I love that line in the song? She always, it always stays with me. Life never tells us the wins or whys. Whew, baby. Life never tells us the wins or whys. The next on my playlist is Pretty Girl Rock by Carrie Hilson. I was thinking about Carrie Hilson and I was like, I don't know what happened, but I just loved me some Carrie Hilson. Like, I just remember wanting to wear my hair like her. I remember back then having the green contacts. Like, I love me some Carrie Hilson, and I love the song Pretty Girl Rock, and I love the video, how she paid homage to the women that came before her. It was beautiful. I love that video. And then Worship Me. I love me some Lizzo. And you know what I do? Like, when I come across an artist, or if I just keep thinking about them, like, I'll obsess over them for a few days. Like, I'll listen to their music and, like, I'll just, like, and it was Lizzo at the time when I was doing this, when I was curating this playlist, and her song Worship Me. That whole album, okay, it's just everything. Lizzo is everything. Lizzo is life. Whenever I see Lizzo, I tear up. And it's only a few people I tear up when I see. And Lizzo is one of them, because she is the epitome of I don't give a fuck. She is the epitome of I done been through everything and look at me. She is the epitome of y'all made fun of me. She is the epitome of I was the awkward one. She is the epitome of just everything that is just, y'all niggas thought I won't go make it. I love her. I love me some Lizzo. And Worship Me, I'm lit, don't mess with it. Oh, stand back, let me do my shit. Okay? I feel like that every day I get dressed and come to work. Okay? This is the fashion show for me. Stand back. Huh, bong, bong. Watch me walk, bitches. I love Lizzo. I love me some Kalani, too. That's next on my playlist, Crazy. Everything I do it with a passion. If I'ma be a bitch, I'ma be a bad one. That's all I got to say. And plus, Kehlani is yatted up, tatted up. She look good. She's beautiful. And, like, she is a crush of my hun, Tiana Taylor. Like, I'd be both-handed for them bitches any time of the day. I would be. I like them. I just love them. I love them. Bitch Better Have My Money. Rihanna, every time this song come on, I just be hard as hell in the club, grabbing my crotch. I just love it. Bitch Better Have My Money. That's how I feel on the 15th and the 30th. Every day when that direct deposit hit, that bitch better have my money, even though the shit going to bills in T-Way. But next on my playlist is All of a Sudden by Lil Baby featuring Moneybagg Yo. I got some younger cousins, and I be listening to some of their music, and it don't sound like garbage. And I actually like listening to Lil Baby and Moneybagg Yo. They say some shit where hey, coming from an impoverished neighborhood, I get it. So I fucks with them. T.I., bring them out. This just made me think of college when I was dancing in one of our first shows. We was like, let's do Bring Them Out. And our choreographer was like, I'll introduce y'all as y'all coming out by playing this song. And so it just stuck with me. Again, I told you I'm stuck in 2007 with some of these songs. But Bring Them Out is the shit. And plus T.I., come on now. T.I. is just a different type of man. He really is. I love T.I. And Bring Them Out, that's a hit. You can work out to it. You know, you can just get in a circle with your good girlfriends and y'all don't want nobody to touch y'all. And y'all just be, bring them out. And show out. And none of these niggas better not touch me. Because I'm in a circle dancing with my bitches. I love T.I. And wrapping up my list is Lemon by Rihanna and N.E.R.D. I love this song. I get it how it live, and I don't know the words, count the motherfucker then, I just love it. I just love Rihanna, bro. Like, I just love her. Man, I just love a lot of people. That's just what it is. Celebrity or not, they're just human to me, to be honest. Like, I mean, they got the coins, but it's just, I just respect, humans, you know? That was a corny way of putting it, but seriously, when I look at these people, like, obviously, you know, they're celebrities, they're on TV, they got coins, but, I mean, I respect them as artists, you know? I just respect what they do. Rihanna actually just donated, I believe it was like $5 million, to Corona Relief, so, you know, I know, if I remember correctly, I heard on the radio, she made some donations to Haiti as well, so, you know, shout out to Rihanna. Rihanna is doing her thing, man. And it's a black woman. Come on now. She black. That's respect. She done made makeup to accommodate all shades of brown. Because y'all know, before Riri did this line, they had us out here looking real casket sharp. Because here's the thing. White America's standards of beauty is light is right and black get back. So, and I mean, we obviously know that that's stemmed from slavery. So when they were making this makeup, when they're making these products, like, they don't have us in mind. Like, they really don't, because not all black women, you know, are light skinned, you know, and, I've had conversations with some of my friends and even family members who never felt really comfortable getting their makeup done by a makeup artist because they're like, I want to make sure they get it right. I'm not going to be out here looking, you know, you know, again, casket sharp. So it took a black woman to say, y'all, since y'all don't care, let me do something about it. And I've seen some of the reviews for her makeup line, and they were a lot of women of color, and they were darker women. And, you know, they looked beautiful. So just shout out to Ree, because, again, we are so unwatered. We are so, we're just... They don't care about us. It take us to say, sis, I got you. So, I don't want to drag it out, but, man, definitely shout out to Riri, because sis doing it. Sis doing it. But that's that. But that wraps up my playlist. So, let me go down the list again. But, again, I'm going to post it on my page, Highly Melanated, on Instagram, but let me spell it out for y'all. It's spelled like Highly Melanated underscore. So it's Highly underscore Melanated, M-E-L-A-N-A-T-E-D underscore one. Highly Melanated one. Find me on IG. And I'm going to have the playlist up there, but I'm going to give it to you guys again. It's Gasolina by Daddy Yankee. Walk It Out by DJ Unk. Don't Start No Shit, Won't Be No Shit. Damn. By Young Bloods. I'm Every Woman. By Whitney Houston, Shoot. By Whitney Houston, Pretty Girl Rock. By Carrie Hilson, Kalani, Crazy. Worship Me by Lizzo. Bitch Better Have My Money by Rihanna. All of a Sudden by Lil Baby featuring Moneybagg Yo. Yo, my favorite line of that song. I can be rapping for free. Hey, they gotta send me your budget. Okay, you better tell them, y'all. T.I., Bring Them Out. And Lemon by Rihanna and N.E.R.D. So don't forget, y'all. Make sure y'all get y'all playlist bumping. Get naked or just dance with your family, because we can't go nowhere. We in quarantine, so why not? And that wraps up our naked playlist number 2. When we get back, we will wrap up the show with a little reflection on the show today. And I got something else to share with y'all. It was another birthday gift I gave to myself, so I'll be back in a second, y'all. I'll tell you no matter. All right, Charles. So we are back. I thank you guys for hanging out with me. Hopefully I didn't hopefully I didn't lose you guys. It's been a lot to talk about on this show. It's been 2 months since I've seen you guys. The last show I did was January 24th. And since then, I done went to Paris. I done had a birthday, you know. So I had to get all of that out. And again, I hope I ain't lose y'all with it. It was a lot to unpack. It was like a good old therapy session with a few laughs and cusses words in it. But yeah, man. I'm looking forward to 34. You know, it's funny. I was looking at my notes because, again, like I said, this is something I think about all the time doing the podcast, talking to people and, you know, making people laugh. And I'm always writing notes. My mind is always going. I'm actually proud to say that it does shut down at night because of motherhood. I be so damn tired that I sleep. I used to get up all times and I just keep getting up. But, I'm getting better with that sleep. The anxiety is starting to go down. So I actually sleep through the night. And also plus because my baby is a little older. He's going to be 2 in May. So I don't have a need to jump up because he can really get out the bed and come in the room and bust up in there. And like, I'm hungry, motherfuckers. So I actually could sleep now. I got to keep worried about my baby. But I'm just looking at my notes. And I'm looking at this list that I wrote to myself around my birthday. And it was to younger self. And it wasn't like a letter, like, written out eloquently. It just was some bullets that I had made. And one of the first, what I noticed is that it said, you don't have to be afraid anymore. And I just remember when I was just reflecting over my 33 years, and I said to myself, why were you so afraid? And when you think of afraid, like when I think of afraid, I literally was afraid of everything. Like, again, I told you I was born into worry, but religion made me afraid to live. And don't get me wrong, I was that granddaughter that I did opposite of what my grandmother told me to do, but it still was a part of my lineage to just be scary, like, seriously, because my mom, like, she was like, oh, don't do that, dude. And my dad would tell me, you know, if you go outside, you're gonna get hit by a car and die. So that was his way of saying don't take gas outside. So, you know, our parents, sometimes they can fuck us up a little bit. It's not, I know they don't try to, but they could make you really scared of everything. And I know for me, I was conflicted. I straddled the fence with a lot of shit. And I do realize that I was afraid of every single thing. And I did not know why. And so one day when I was just having a, you know, I was meditating. And I was saying to myself, well, what is it that you're afraid of? Why is it that you're so afraid? And I didn't have an answer anymore. Because I felt like that part of me was healing. So it was like, I really don't know what I was afraid of. You know, I think I just was just afraid, but I don't know why. I don't even know if I can even explain that to y'all, but I just was just afraid of everything, afraid to do everything. I think I was just scared something bad was going to always happen. And I just was like, you don't have to be afraid anymore, because whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen. You know, like, you can't be that. You know what it was for me? I feel like I have to be in control. So if I find myself in a situation where I'm not in control, I will freak out. I will freak out. And it's like, I was afraid. Now I got it. I was afraid because of the unknown. And it's like, you can't worry about the unknown. You got to take every minute, every second. You got to take everything for what it is. And you got to take everything one day at a time. Like, you can't possibly know everything. Like, Rome wasn't built overnight. You know, you just, it's life. You know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. You can't be too prepared. Like, that's just what it is. So that's where the fear came from, being afraid. Like, I just felt like I'm not going to be prepared for this. I'm not going to be prepared for that. But for what? It comes when it comes. That's it. So, yeah, you don't have to be afraid anymore. It's okay to stand up for yourself. That should have been number one. No, actually, it could stay at number two. I always was a people pleaser. I never stood up for myself. Like, if I didn't agree with something, like, I would just sit there and, like, I would be quiet a lot. Like, I would. I really would. Like, because it was just easier. Because I didn't like to upset people. I didn't want nobody to be mad at me. I still wanted people to be my friend. Like, I did. And, like, what I realized is that shit, that's a lot. That's heavy. That's heavy, because people will punch all over you if they can. Literally and figuratively, they will punch all over you if you don't stand up for yourself. So you fucking got to. You know, how many times you done been in at work and you trying to be all nice and passive, and then you just realizing like, well, how come I keep getting all the assignments, or you just sitting there and you need to say, you want to say something, but you're afraid to say something in the meeting, but you know you need to say this. How many of us has been like that, especially as a woman, because you feel like nobody listening to you anyway? I cannot tell you how many times I done sat in a meeting and poured my heart and soul in the program that I used to run and say, listen, we need to do this for these kids and do that for these kids, and them people was looking at me like, shut up, shut your ass up. So it silenced me. But then I thought about it, how many times I was silenced as a little girl and I didn't speak up for myself. I can't take it. Didn't I tell you I was busting out the seams, holding in shit? No, I can't do that no more. I can't carry that. Hell no. If I got something to say, I'm going to say it. If I feel like I need to say it. And it don't even have to be nasty. You don't even have to say it nasty. I won't. But I can't sit on that. I can't. And you know what? You can stand up for yourself by literally just walking away. I used to think that I always had to say something to somebody when they say something back to me. Now, I'd be like, huh, girl, bye. Or boy, bye. I get that words hurt, but it's what we give power. If you give power to those words, if you know who you are, it don't matter. You know what used to tick me off? Bitch and hoe. Until I said, I know I can be a bitch. And that's okay. I can be a bitch when I feel like you're not gonna bully me. And as far as hoe go, I'm okay with that. You know why? Because I live my motherfucking life. And I get the double standard where it's if women do it, blah, 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 and if men do it, blah, 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 I don't care. I live my life where I saw fit. So if it's a hoe, okay, whatever. Yeah, mammy. Like, that's it. My grandmama taught me, you cannot go around calling women hoes as long as you have a mother, an auntie, a sister, a grandmama. Can't go around calling people hoes. A daughter. You can't go around calling people hoes. I mean, you can, but you got to check that. Shit. But it's really, I'm getting so sidetracked, y'all. I'm sorry. But it really is, you know, what we give power to, you know, the words do hurt. But again, if you know yourself, like, can't nobody use that against you. And I feel like because I never stood up for myself, people done said some shit to me that I took. And as I got older, I was like, fuck that. Fuck you. And because people said things to me, now it makes me pay attention to them and I pick up on their shit. So when they would say stuff to me, I'd be looking at them like, so you don't recognize your own behavior? So it's just me? So it's just me. But it's not, okay. It just made it so much easier. So it's like now when I be silent, it's not because I'm scared of them. I'm afraid to speak up. I don't have to. Because I'm like, you doing it to yourself. I don't got to say nothing. People don't understand. Silence is golden. Let me tell you something. I done been in situations where people made me very uncomfortable and they bullied me. And when it was all said and done, whether I stood up for myself or not, or whether I just walked away from them, whether it was a family member or a friend, like, I came out knowing, like, it's going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me. Because I know I got my shit with me, but I also know that I'm a good friend. I also know I'm that friend. You could talk to me. And we going to work this out. We going to do a little bit of therapy. We could drink if you want to. I know that I'm a good person, you know, and again, that comes from knowing yourself. I done been in situations where I done had whole shot matches with friends or family members, and then I go back and replay what they said over and over, and I own the stuff that they said I did, and I know that I was wrong for doing that. I own it, but then I also know the shit where it was like, you thought you could bully me, and now you can't no more. And it's sad to say that in this age, we are still, some of us are still in friendships, some of us are still in relationships. Well, people really think they can bully you. And say and do whatever they want. I don't think so. Mm-mm. You gotta stand up for yourself or walk away. Cause I'm telling you, that silence, bro. I don't get the meanest motherfucker feelings to be hurt. The baddest motherfucker. This nigga could knock out when it comes to women. I don't know how men work, but when it comes to women, you could know for this friend to be putting bitches out, putting bitches down, or other bitches just be scared of her. I have a sister like that, but on some real shit, and I hope my sister don't jack me up. It's been times with my sister that did some stuff to me, like physically, because she my older sister. She fight like a nigga. I mean, I do too, but she's still the older sister, so you know, respect. My sister done jacked me up. But you know what hurt my sister feelings the most? When I ain't talk to her. Seriously. When I ain't talk to my sister, that hurt her feelings. So what I also learned by that, because, you know, I still was taught to be of Christ, that a lot of those women, they are carrying so much anger. They are carrying so much anger. And it's like, I need to release. But that's not your fight. That's for them to work out with themselves. Because I know for me personally, I got to work out my own shit. I can't carry your shit and my shit. I can't no more. So that's that. I'm sorry, y'all. I didn't spend like 10 minutes on that shit. I'm so sorry, y'all. Like, I don't know. Like, I keep saying sorry. But I just feel like it's been 2 months since I talked to y'all. So, you know, but, yeah, man, every battle is not yours, sis. And again, remember, silence is golden. You shut a lot of shit down by not saying nothing, because the reality is, let's just say this. I used to always feel like, I used to be bothered by the fact that I wasn't a fighter. You know, I felt like I had to be that, but that wasn't me. I was always that friend, that cousin that you call when you was about to do some bullshit and I talk you through it. You know, my whole thing was always, what did they hit you? Like, that's my whole thing, because again, words, but it's what you give power to. You know, a lot of times people will get in arguments with people and they be like, no, because she was subliminally talking about me on social media. So what? If that person didn't have the balls to come to you and say, bitch, X, Y, and Z, and then hit you, it don't matter. Now, don't get me wrong, I promise y'all, I done been in situations around the most irritating females, and when I tell you, it wouldn't have gave me, oh my God, would have gave me so much pleasure to Donkey Kong bong them on the top of their damn head. But what was that going to do? Like, seriously, because you know, the reality is, some people, you want to knock them out every day, but that's them. They're the unhealthy adult. The healthy adult and you got to say, that little girl and them, they need some work done. That's not your battle. That is not your battle. Let them fight that by themselves. That's not for you. And not for nothing. We not in high school no more. We not in elementary school no more. I don't know about y'all, but I'm 34 years old. I got a career and I got a kid. You think I want to get locked up because I ain't had no self-control, because this bitch ain't had no self-control? You got to be the healthy adult and walk away. You have to. Now, you can give them the look. I call it the Uncle T look, because my uncle, he don't play that shit. He old school. You can get him that look. Like, bitch, I'll rip your face off, but... And I'm, y'all know I'm all about unity, but come on, I got to be real. Sometimes people make you want to rip their face off. You do. But just walk away from them, because it's not your battle. It's something going on more deeper with them, and it's not for you, sis. It's not worth it. You have a family. It's just not worth it. And not for nothing, as a person who waited late in life to let somebody pluck my nerve, your body be sore for like a week or two. That's some real shit. So don't be out here fighting. Stop. Walk away. As long as they don't put their hands on you, please walk away. Please walk away. It's not worth it. And we live in an age where people just pull out their phone. Now, you want your kids to see you on World Star? Do you? Come on now. It's just not worth it. Walk away. Every battle not yours, baby. You know what you got to do. Girl, bye. Just girl, bye and walk off. I'm telling you, silence is golden, man. It really is. But next on my list, it's okay to say you don't know. Now, for me growing up, I was the cousin that everybody thought I knew everything, and I really didn't. And it stuck with me. So now that I'm older and I know that I don't know everything, I talk less, because I used to talk because I thought that I knew everything, and I had to learn how to shut up, because it's impossible for you to know everything. A person that knows that a person don't know everything. Well, I should say a conscious person knows that a person don't know everything. You can't. It's impossible. So I'm quieter now. Like, I realized that part of me was obnoxious to people. So I'm working on that. I'm working on not, you know, thinking I know everything. I'm working on listening more and talking less. So it's okay to say you don't know something. And don't feel bad about it. Like, I used to feel like I had to know. If you don't know, you don't know. It's just okay. It's okay not to have the answers, man. It's all right. But, yeah, man. Here's a 34. One of the other gifts that I gave to myself, aside from going to Paris, was that I said I was going to stand up to my mom. And I feel like for a very long time, I would post videos on social media talking about how I grew up. And I never had a conversation with my mother. I never gave her that respect. I was afraid. I was uncomfortable. Like when I started breaking the generational curse thing, like I still was scared to talk to my mom. Like I was. And when I came from Paris, it just was heavy on my mind. Like I was like, you gotta say it. And I felt like that's where a lot of fear of speaking up to people came from as well. Not standing up to my mom. Cause I still felt like I was a little girl. But the adult in me was like, you 34, you got a son, you got your own family. It's time for you to go talk to your mama, woman to woman. And y'all both just got to be brave. So I'm not going to lie to y'all. It was via text first because for me, I like to write. And sometimes I know that this motor mouth of mine, it don't come out how I want it to. You know, sometimes how it's easier for you to text something than to say it, or it's easier to say it than text it. It was one of those moments where I felt like I want to text my mom first. And I text her and she called me the next day. And I was so emotional when she called me because I knew I had to take that off of me. A lot of times we carry what our parents, their burdens. We carry that, you know, because again, our parents are unhealthy adults. So, you know, I carried so many years of my mom and my dad's stuff. And I was like to my mom, this is heavy. We got to talk about this because I can't do this no more. So my mom came to my house and we sat and we talked for hours and she teared up. But y'all know when my mom teared up, and if my friend listening, you're going to love this. She teared up when I told her that me and my good girlfriend hugged each other and we embraced. And my mom, she cried. She cried because my mom never moved. It made me realize how many sacrifices my mom made. After talking to her, it made me realize how she was in pain and she was silenced, you know, and she stayed here. She didn't leave. My mom wanted to leave, but she stayed so me and my brother didn't have to move around a lot like she did. Well, me and my brothers, because I have a brother that's 15 as well. So for the three of us, my mom stayed. And she was almost done, but then she got pregnant with my brother when I was in college. So she's still here until he's 18. But I want my mom to go somewhere and be at peace. I really do. But she cried when I talked about me and my friend having that moment. Because she wanted me to always have friends because she couldn't keep them because she had to keep moving. But thank God she had her sisters. My mom has 7 siblings and she got 3 sisters and 4 brothers. So, you know, she's very close to my aunts, which is good. But see, I don't have that, you know. I have brothers, and because I have brothers, I don't have feelings about a lot of stuff because my sister was older than us. She really wasn't beat for us like that. She did her own thing. So I was always with my dad and my brothers. And them niggas don't got feelings. Men don't have feelings. So, you know, but I had a lot of the same friends for a very long time. So those were my sisters. And even now, you know, I have friends that I really call my sisters. And I know sometimes I fail them because I you know, I'm still working on my own stuff. But, you know, I am grateful that my mom stayed here so I can have friends. But it was just so good to talk to my mom. It felt so good to stand up to my mom. And now we talk, and we used to always talk before, but now when we talk, it's like we really can be honest. So she really shares shit. That rug sweeping, we don't do that no more. Because I make her not do that. I make her uncomfortable. Like, and respectfully, but I'd be like, come on, let's talk about it. Let's say what it is. And it's like, it's different. And so because I was able to stand up to my mother, it makes it easy for me to stand up to people. And again, I don't have to open my mouth. I don't have to say nothing. Standing up is really just not letting nobody disrespect you and walking away from shit that just don't sit right with you. And if I would have never had that conversation with my mama, I would have still thought it was okay to sit there and let somebody disrespect me. So I'm happy I did that. And then on my birthday, and that was the birthday. It was actually, I did that. I had a conversation with my mom the day before my birthday. And I planned it just like that. That was the birthday gift I gave to myself. Because I'm telling y'all, 33 was a crazy year. And I was trying to do my research on 33. And I heard like that was like, that's like the year. I think when Jesus died at 33. Like, I mean, it's like really the year that you transition. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really believe in that. And I felt like 33 was rough. And it's even harder when you're a mom. So I felt like I got jumped. I felt like I got jumped. I felt like I got jumped a lot when I was 33. Like I said earlier in the show, you know, it was a lot. So that was a gift to myself, to talk to my mom and stand up to my mom and, you know, build and start over, you know, and understand that she's an unhealthy adult, but I'm gonna help her get to where she got to get as much as I can. So I can show her that you did all right, Ma. And now that I'm a mom, I understand. And I love you. And that's that. And another birthday gift that I had got was, I remember I told you guys about how I was raised and how some of my relatives were abusive and they were mean. And so this one aunt who was like, she was mean to me. And I realized that she was mean to me because of things that she was going through with my dad, you know. So she took it out on me. And that does a lot to you as a kid. That dulls your light, you know. And like, I felt like I wasn't pretty. I felt like I couldn't speak up for myself. I felt like I couldn't get up there and dance with my cousins when we would do things because she didn't want me to. Like, she was just so mean to me. And over the years, I realized that she started to not be mean. And she was one of those aunts that I would see where I would get emotional. I was angry with her for a very long time because I was like, why did you do this to me? You made me afraid to stand up for myself, because when I was standing up for myself, you would smack me down. Like the song in Love is Blind, when she said the line, smacked you down because he said you was too tall for him. Like, I interpreted it that way with me and my aunt. Like, if anytime I felt like I wanted to, like, oh, I want to do this, whap, no. I was silenced, you know? I realized that I would get emotional around that aunt because I just understood that somebody did it to her. So, and she the oldest. And now that I said that, my family know who I'm talking about, but it's all good, it's all right. She's the oldest. And can you imagine when you the oldest? I know I'm the oldest. You get it the worst. You get it the fucking worst as the oldest. So, you know, I forgive my aunt, you know. And when she called me on my birthday, I heard it in her voice, like, she was defeated, you know. Life, you know, beat you up, you know, life, but she's still here, and she's still trying. So, you know, I forgive her. Like, I forgive her. You know, one thing my grandmother on my mom's side taught me to do was to be of Christ. And I used to hate that because I took that literally, and I would let people, again, walk all over me. And before my grandma passed away, she said, I regret not standing up for myself. I regret not cussing a few people out. So I'm still learning to be of Christ and to be forgiving to people, but I'm also learning, like, it's still okay to let people know they got you messed up, but you can do it respectfully and do it of Christ. And by that, be at peace with yourself, where you like, girl, bye. Like, seriously, like, you just sashay off, sis. Okay, let me bring it back because I'm getting sidetracked. But yeah, when I talked to my auntie, like, it was a little awkward between us, but again, I am the healthy adult, and I know that she is working on her. And so I know that when we are allowed to be around each other, when quarantine and Auntie Rona stop with they shit, you know, I'm gonna learn how to embrace that relationship more, because I forgive, you know. I release it into the air. It's fine. I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm learning to be my own friend. I'm learning to love on myself. I'm learning to take better care of myself. And just stop just letting people burdens, stop carrying it for them, you know. Stop. Like, I'm not a mule. I'm not a donkey. Listen, this is my life, and I just want to live my life. I just want to be a healthy adult. I want to be healthy for my son. I want my son to see a healthy black mom, you know, so when he sees shit on social media, when he sees shit on TV, he be like, a joke. Like, because he going to know, like, that, baby, that ain't real. That ain't real. All black women don't act like that. This is what healthy looks like. And also don't let media tell you that that's, because that's not true. That's what they want to program in your head. That's just not true. It's not. But that's it, y'all, for my show. Gosh, y'all, I needed to get that off my chest. I hope I kept y'all with me. I really did. I'm always nervous when I do some of these shows, only because I feel like I haven't really got to the core of a motherhood. But I'm like, no, I have, because I'm breaking generational curses as a millennial mother who is acknowledging that as a black woman, you know, we go through a lot, you know, we carry a lot, and still try to be mothers, and we don't talk about that stuff, you know. Postpartum, I've never been asked so many times about postpartum in my life. Like, well, no, I'll say this, I said that wrong. when I had my son, and after I had him, they kept asking me about the postpartum. And I know my mom said they wasn't like that back then. They just called it the baby blues, but they didn't have no treatment for it like how they do now. They ask you so many questions. Like, they'll keep asking you. And I remember even my OBGYN, she kept asking me, like, you know, how you doing? And I said to her, I said, well, I go to therapy, so I'm okay. And I said, because I know that I have addictive behavior and I numb my pain sometimes with, like, alcohol, like, I know that those pills that you guys gave me, those oxys, I only took them for the pain and then I put them away. Because I knew that the postpartum was kicking my ass, but I knew, like, I did not want to become that mom that become dependent, because I don't want that. Like, I know it's hard, but I just did not want that for myself. So, you know, I just keep with therapy. And don't get me wrong, it's a lot being a mother, and you can get lost. You know, you can become afraid. And what I keep telling myself is that my baby is only, he's only gonna be two. I only had him for 2 years. I got the rest of our lives until God says it's time for one of y'all to go home. I got it. It's gonna be all right. One day at a time. Like, it's again, going back to that being afraid. Afraid of what? When it happens, it happens. And that's it. But I'm here with y'all, mamas. We're going to break these generational curses. We're going to break them. One episode at a time, one day at a time. It's just so many layers of black women. It really is. And it's many more when you become a mother. It is. But I thank you guys for listening, tuning in to the Highly Melanated Podcast Show. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at highly_melanated_1. And that is highly, highly_melanated, MELANATED_1. Highly Melanated One on Instagram. I'm not on Facebook. I deleted it. We'll talk about that in another show. But y'all be blessed. Y'all take care of yourselves out there. Remember, practice social distancing. Wash your hands. Take off your clothes when you come in the house. If you got to go outside, spray it down. Do all of that. Keep your house clean and don't go outside unless you need to. And my mom told me something yesterday, and she said her doctor told her that, but she said if you don't have a mask, you should wear a scarf around your mouth when you gotta go outside, like in grocery stores and stuff like that. So, I mean, hey, there you go. But y'all be safe out there. And I thank you guys for listening to the Highly Melanated Podcast Show. I am your host, Natasha Monique. Peace.